Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid in the mightier 1090 in San Diego. Welcome into Hour 3. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm here with Casey Bubba. Follow him on the Twitter at BD Entrick, E-N-T-R-E-K, for all of you guys that are wondering. And we actually had a decent Thursday night football game. I thought it was pretty good. And this is from Cleveland and Cincinnati, Bubba. So it really is 2020.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I was talking about it on the good old Twitter. Right when it was getting ready to start, thinking you see Joe Burrow warming up, you see Baker Mayfield warming up, all these little toys they have that are pretty good. And I'm thinking, okay, at least they put this at the beginning of the season so they don't risk Burrow being out of the game and having the backup quarterback. Like, at least we get a good football game, and it turned into a very entertaining game in the end, and hopefully one that goes on in the future with these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay if they both suck, but, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, so. But, I mean, I don't know. You know, Burrow is going to need that extra couple days of rest after this game, because he was getting blown up back there. I mean, that – the Bengals still have issues on the line. They obviously still have issues on defense and with tackling and all that good stuff. But Cleveland looked good, man. And this is the blueprint that they want to do. You got to, you know, no disrespect to Baker Mayfield. Yeah. And I know a lot of people are going to hear what I say and just not believe it at all. And that's fine. You know, I'm a Texas fan and a Steelers fan, so I get it. But you don't want Baker throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. You want to rely on that run game, especially when you have Chubb and Hunt. So this is the blueprint, is run those guys till the wheels come off and let Baker throw when he needs to. And I thought they did a good job of that in this game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's a good two-headed monster at running back that I'm looking forward to discussing more on the next segment. So they did what they wanted to do. Baker can make plays, but you want to limit the amount of times he has to make the play, like you said. So it was a good formula coming off that tough week in Baltimore, and a big bounce back for Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in this hour, we're going to be looking at that Thursday night game right now, because we're just coming off the heels of it. It's fresh in our mind. We're going to go back to last week and see how we did on our bets. Pretty good, by the way. Not bad. And then we're going to pick for this week as well. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090. We'll be right back after this.
What? SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. I'm 90. I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogdan Sports. I'm joined by my friend, El, Casey Bubba. Follow him at BDN Trick. And Casey, tell everybody where they can find all of your great work on the interwebs.
Yeah, the podcast, I do tons of them, but my baby is Bench with Bubba, so go check that out. Bench, B-E-N-C-H-E-D with Bubba, mainly fantasy baseball, but we sneak in other stuff all the time, taking a little break from football, kind of focusing football on this show with you guys. But go check out Bench with Bubba, with the latest episode, gets you ready for the final fantasy baseball week of the season, two start pitchers, all that good stuff. So go check that out. I do two daily DFS shows for baseball, MLB DFS quick hits going on here, five or six of that. And doing the Lion Star podcast with Joe Pisapia as well. And then I write my written content as at rotoballer.com. I do daily Monday through Friday baseball content there and weekly value cash game plays for your NFL DFS lineups. So go check out all that goodness, but just follow me on Twitter. I'll tweet out all the information many times for you.
So I'm doing the football version of that show, that DFS show. And did you see my touchdown calls this week, Bubba?
Yes, pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Not bad. I had DK Metcalf, who scored a touchdown for the Seahawks, and I had Josh Jacobs, who scored three times for the Raiders. So not bad. And then Joe, of course, went first this week. So I'm like, you're going first now. Okay.
He does that. We call a home run call all the time at the end of every episode for baseball. And I think I'm beating him by like four or five this year. He's having a rough go. Let's just put that. Every time I get one the next day, I'm going first because you got one last night. And that's always.
That sounds like Joey. You know, that's our Joey right there. But look, he had Zach Moss who, he went out on a limb and
that was a ballsy pick. I'll give him credit for that.
Absolutely. And then Michael Thomas got banged up. He had the high ankle sprain. So,
I'm going to make the listeners go listen to the show for this week, but I've already listened to it. And your running back selection is you're going on a limb there, too.
I am. I'm going out on a limb, but I believe, and I'm starting him in my leagues too. So I'm buying in. Let's start out with the Cleveland side of this game because they do come away with the winner at the bettor's expense, though. Too the end of this game because the spread was six.
Nothing and, like a Thursday night backdoor cover to get the week going for you.
Backdoor cover to start your week bad. 35-30. The Browns over the Bengals. Obviously, this game went way over. I think the over on this one was somewhere in the, I think it was 44, 43 and a half, somewhere in that neighborhood. So this went way, way over. But Cleveland, like we were alluding to before the break, this is the blueprint that you want. Baker Mayfield, 16 of 23, 218 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Nick Chubb runs it 22 times, 125 yards, two touchdowns. And he had one catch for nine, but Kareem Hunt, 10 for 86 and a score, and then two for 15 and a score. So both of the running backs had, I guess Hunt had three touchdowns. I didn't even realize that till right now. Hunt had two rushing and one receiving. So big day for Hunt.
No. He had one rushing, one receiving.
One rushing. Okay. Oh, you know what? I'm looking at Chubb, targets. That's
Chubb,
my
Chubb,
bad.
Chubb had two touchdowns on the ground.
TDs and targets are different things, folks. I did not know. It's late. So we're recording this late. But okay. So my bad. So you're right. You're right. So two touchdowns apiece for these running backs. This is what you want out of this game. And this is why you go and you add Conklin in the offseason and you go and you draft Jedrick Wills too. You get those bulldozers to run down the throat. And I mean, look, Cincinnati had some issues on the defensive line as well. So, this game plan made a lot of sense and it worked to perfection.
Yeah, it totally did. And this is what, like you said, they want to do with that two-headed monster of Chubb and Hunt. Because when you have a guy like Hunt, who used to be like one of the top running backs in all of football for the Chiefs, and now he's your backup, and they utilized him beautifully. Because as a guy that owns Hunt and was playing Hunt this week, I was extremely nervous when the first half he hasn't taken the field like forever. After they're going, wait a minute, last week he was such a vital role in the offense. Looked like there's going to be a pretty good sharing going on here, at least in the passing game. Nothing. And then they utilized him. Like, it's like Chubb for two or three drives, give him a drive off, let Hunt go wild. He busts a big one, makes catches like he does, shows why he used to be a top-end running back. That's a beautiful thing to have, a 1-2 punch like that for Cleveland, which really sounds weird to say. Cleveland has something good going for them. But that's big for Chubb and Hunt. And if they can utilize that, like we said at the beginning, and limit Baker Mayfield, who went 16 of 23, that's very efficient for Baker. Didn't have to make a lot of tough throws. Did hit Beckham deep. But they did everything they wanted to do to pick up this W, where they pretty much had control most of the game.
Yeah, and that that one bootleg play for Baker where when he threw the pick, I mean, it was magic, him escaping that. And then he just made a terrible boneheaded throw right to the Bengals. So, Baker's good for about one of those boneheaded plays a game. So, but a great game other than that for him. On the receiving side for the Brownies here, Beckham all smiles now. 6 targets, 4 catches, 74 yards, and a touchdown, led the Browns in targets. And he said before the game, all I want to do is win. I don't care. So, and they got the win, and he kind of got gifted that touchdown, Bubba, didn't he? I mean, come on. That was that. Like, he should have been down.
It's like it just fell on top of him. It was crazy. So
exactly.
He needed it though. Fantasy owners have been wanting it forever. He's been quiet and playing the nice guy role in the locker room, which is good to see with OBJ. So if you feed him once in a while, let him eat like that, he'll be happy, and that's all they got to do.
Landry came into this game banged up yet. Still recovering from his hip stuff, but he's good enough to go. 4 targets, 3 catches, 46 yards. Kadarius Hodge, 2 targets, 2 catches, 39 yards. Are we worried about Austin Hooper moving forward? Not the best game in week 1. And in this game, 2 catches for 15 against the Ravens, 2 for 21 against the Bengals here, but he's still working his way in. So what are you thinking? Is this early growing pains with this offense, or is this time to start to get a little worried?
No, I think he'll be better than this. I'll be honest with that part, but I am worried. Like, I wanted nothing to do with him going into the season. When you think back, at least two years we were all about Njoku and it never worked out. So maybe this offense just doesn't run through the tight end. Maybe they obviously use Landry for short possession, like third down stuff. They can use Kareem Hunt for that now. They might not need a guy like that. Hooper, I guess, could extend the field if he wanted to, but not really. So he's just kind of another possession receiver where they already have a couple guys I trust a little more, it feels like. I'm not saying he's going to be this bad, but I'm not overly excited about it either.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. On the Cincinnati side, Joe Burrow, 37 completions on 61 attempts. That's exactly what you want from your rookie quarterback on short rest. And his first start in primetime ever, right, Bubba? You want him throwing the ball 61 times. Ridiculous.
Yeah, per Elias Sports, his 37 completions, most in a game by a rookie quarterback. 61 attempts, second most by a rookie quarterback. Yeah, second game ever. And we saw it last week. He drove down the field, dropped the game-winning touchdown pass. He kept them in this game. He was making plays. He's using his legs. He said he was taking hits. He's going to learn that you need to start avoiding some of those hits. But the passes he makes, the confidence he shows there, the way he spreads it all over the field, we'll talk about the receivers. What is not to love about Joe Burrow right now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, look, I was in. And oh, it's funny. They had 3 touchdowns. He did fumble, but no picks in this game. And he was Clyde Edwards-Helaire moved above him before this game in Rookie of the Year odds on FanDuel. So that was interesting to see. And I think after this game, even though it wasn't a loss, and it's hard to win rookie of the year if you're not going to win games, and the Bengals are 0-2 now. But, I mean, look, he's got to be moving up. People got to be looking at him. I was a little worried to start him this week, so I benched him in a couple spots and started. I have a couple spots where I have Josh Allen or I have Joe Burrow. So no disrespect, I started Josh Allen this week because they're playing.
He should stomp the Dolphins. You're right. It's all good. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just. But for those games, for those high scoring, or you know, those games where you expect a team to win big, you got to get those points early. True. You know, you have to get them early. So I'm hoping that he can get them early. And we're going to talk about, I mean, like you said, everybody caught the ball here except the guy I wanted to catch the ball, because I have many, many shares of AJ Green. So when we come back after this break, we will wrap up this Thursday night game, take a look at our results from last week on our picks against the spread and over-unders, and we will start to head in towards week two. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid, the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, for this final hour of ITL here. And we are going over the Thursday night game, Bubba. We talked about the great rushing game from Cleveland. You know, they did a good enough job against Burrow, but Burrow looks great. You know, and Burrow is going to be a startable asset moving forward because that defense is not going to get much better. I mean, I guess you can look, the defensive line should get better. They should get guys back healthy. I mean, Geno Atkins out this week. You know, they still have problems tackling from their linebackers. Josh Bynes he's a team captain, but he had 4 tackles and 5 assists, and they're all 5-6 yards downfield. So Jesse Bates had a rough night too. He got run over a couple times by Chubb and Hunt. So, Aikman pointed out that last year, the top 3 guys in missed tackles were on the Bengals. So, it's going to have to get better for them, but knowing that this defense is rough means that we're going to get these, you know, I don't know if we'll get another 60 attempt game from Burrow, but I think he's going to be over 40 a bunch this year, right?
Yeah, you pray if you're a Bengals fan or owner or staff, you hope he doesn't throw 60 games. That's a lot of times he get hit in the pocket, so that's not a good thing. But at the same time, I was kind of thinking about it before on the last segment, how good he was tonight, how good he was week one. If he can keep learning through all this and they actually keep losing, get another top pick and like help the O-line out, this is like the perfect storm. This is what the Cowboys did with Aikman, and then they built around it. So this is interesting because – he's going to get all this learning done, become a very good quarterback or better than he already is, and they can still become a better team, which would be really good.
What was your thoughts on Joe Buck getting that Hall of Fame nod at halftime?
I was a bit surprised by that. Not that he doesn't deserve it. I've learned to like Joe Buck the more that I've learned who he is outside of the booth, like the interviews he does on other shows, and kind of opens up like he's on Brockmire and stuff like that, where you can kind of see the real Joe Buck. He's just like us. He loves every four-letter word. He likes to drink. He likes, like, he's just a dude, but he gets to talk about sports. And like anything in life, if he's talking about something that's against what you like, you're not going to like him. And that's just how it happens. So I've learned to enjoy Joe Buck. And so he earns it, but I kind of get, it's weird having guys get nods when they're still like, he probably has another, 20, 30 years going. It's like, couldn't that wait like a little longer? Maybe let his like plugs fall out or something first.
So he's got something to feel good about when he's bald.
Exactly. Yeah, with the bus in the hall, it'll be all shiny, just like his head.
Oh God. I hope the Vikings moon him at some point. Now, I like Joe Buck. I'm with you. You know, once you realize there's a real person there, you know, and he's not just a stiff robotic, you know, I don't know. You know, a lot of people were mad at the Randy Moss call. That's a disgusting act and all that. And that was a dumb call, right? Yeah. And I prefer him in football way more than I do in baseball. Because to me,
he doesn't say that about Moss if it's now. Like, that was when he was young and still kind of, like, immature to the game. Nowadays, he'd probably start laughing or, like, try not to laugh and just say something and change this. Like, he wouldn't have said the
way more buttoned up. Yeah, yes. Way more buttoned up for sure. So now that he's kind of, like you said, been on some podcasts and we've heard him curse and stuff and, you know, all of that, like, you know, it's just different than what his dad's day was.
Yes.
That's really 100%. What the thing is. So, you know, I like Joe Buck's fine. I don't despise him or anything. He's fine. There are a couple broadcasters I don't really care for, but, you know, what are you going to do? In this game still, though, Mixon. It's rough. It's been a rough go for Mixon. Now, I did catch 4 balls for 40 yards, so that was nice. And he's still getting 20 touches, 16 carries, but for 45 yards on the ground, 2.8 per, and he was 3.6 last week, 19 for 69. So, like I said, the touches are there for Mixon, but he hasn't been looking great. So, do you think he was overvalued going into the season? Because I'm one of those guys. I love Mixon, so I definitely overvalued him.
Yeah, I love Mixon too. I'm going to still keep, as long as he's getting 20 touches, you know, if he falls into the end zone, he's close to 20 points. Like, in reality, it's one of those things that he's not getting you the yards for the points, but you keep getting the touches. Eventually, he's going to have a couple of those big 2-touchdown games, and life's going to be good again. So I'm not going to panic too much when you kind of have to go away from the running game or your O-line's banged up as the Bengals is. I'm not going to panic just yet. Just keep feeding him the ball one way or another. Goodness will happen.
Now, you talked about the receivers, you know, 61 passes, so a lot of targets to go around here. And I think a big one, Uzama, they said Achilles injury.
Yep, he's so done.
He's probably done. So Drew Sample, 9 targets, most of them coming in the last 2 drives. So he's going to be a name that you look out for. I think I told my buddy, you can drop Drew Sample. He's the blocking tight end a couple weeks ago. So, you know, he was until tonight.
You're 100% correct.
T. Higgins had 6. Tyler Boyd had 8, caught 7, 73 yards and a score. Do you have it in front of you? Or are you looking at the targets? Okay.
Yep.
I was going to ask you to guess how many AJ Green had. 13. Oh,
it was all over Twitter. Trust me. Before I didn't have to look at this to know that one.
13. He caught 3 for 29. I had a couple people in my Thursday Night Football with Bogman stream asking me if he's washed. He did drop 2 passes, but he also that first play. Did you see the first play where they threw him the ball? It was like a 25 yards. They called it a catch. It's clearly not a catch.
Yeah, this
referee was terrible tonight, by the way. He fell straight on the ball. So that dude might have been playing this game with a cracked rib or something. He definitely got banged up on that first play. So I'm not gonna call him washed or anything, but you know, when he's only catching 3 of 13, you got to quit going to him, right?
Yeah. Unless some injury comes out, but it's tough. Cause like you said, Boyd's doing his thing. You know, I'm a big John Ross fan. We saw what he could do last year when AJ Green was out. It was him and Boyd, the 1-2 punch. T Higgins looks good. They drafted him for a reason. There's other weapons to be used in this passing game. So if AJ can't do it, and you know, we all talked about it, the value of his draft stock because of the injuries in past years, they're targeting him, which is good, but we have to keep a close eye on this because it might get ugly pretty quick.
All right. You gotta let go of John Ross, though. Come on.
Really? Really?
I don't know if he got a target. He didn't catch a ball.
Two. He had two targets this week.
He had two.
I think it's because and AJ Green only had three more catches than him, so it's okay. Yeah, but
very, very well. I'm not saying hop on AJ Green bandwagon. I'm just saying you can.
John Ross is good when AJ Green's out of the way, but T Higgins might change that. So we'll see.
Oh yeah, T Higgins way better than John Ross.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. So maybe T Higgins. I misspoke.
All right, so let's see how we did last week on these picks, shall we, Bubba? So. Let's see.
There's a tone in the voice, folks. There's a tone in the voice right there.
Against the spread, we were good. Look, I'll just get it out of the way. Over-unders, we were bad at. You were better than me, 7-8. I was 6-9 on the over-unders. So we were picking two. You know, I let that one tweet crawl into my head a little bit too much about the overs, the 1 year with the almost lockout and all that stuff. We should have been playing it closer to a regular season because they didn't play preseason games, but they got practices in. So 6-9 for me, 7-8 for you. So we weren't great. But against the spread, and look, Welsh too was right in there. Over 500, he was 8-7. He was 7-8 on the over-under. So he was right in line with you. But you were 10-5, and I was 11-4. We rock and roll week one. So what was your favorite call from week one?
Well, I said it on the show last week when we picked the three-pack. I was a huge fan of Arizona going in and covering and making it a close game. They actually obviously won outright, which was big, but I was very confident in them at least covering that football game.
Yeah. Yeah, they look good. So, Seattle, that one was an easy call. Cincinnati actually got, from the spread we were picking, they got it, because it was 3 points. But that game I called to go to the Bengals outright, and it should have, but we had the AJ Green push off and then the fat Randy leg. How are you going to get a leg cramp in the middle of doing your job? You have to do your job like for a minute and a half every single week, and you're going to cramp in the middle of it. Come on, man. How did
Pedialyte not call him up and like start an advertisement with him? Never cramp again.
Gatorade, pickle juice, anything, and by the way, what is he getting a cramp from? Sitting? I mean, come on.
He must have got his foot caught in the net when he was practicing on the sideline. I don't know.
Good Lord, Bubba. Good Lord. Yeah, but, we were both on we actually got some of the opposite calls right. So I had Indy. You had Jacksonville. That was a good call by you because they won outright and ruined a lot of people's survivors picks.
I called backdoor cover with the Minshew on that. Didn't think outright was happening.
I had the Raiders. You had Carolina. Raiders obviously won that game. You homered out and picked your Dolphins. I picked New England on that one.
That was brutal.
We both had Buffalo. You got me on Washington, though. Obviously, great halftime adjustment they had there because that did not look like it was going well for them in the first half. We both were on Seattle. We're both on Cincy. We're both on Arizona. We're both on New Orleans. Both on the Rams. I picked Pittsburgh. I did homer out, and I won that one. Mm-hmm. And then Tennessee we both had as well. So pretty good job. The ones I think the only one that we got – wrong together because you had Green Bay and I had Minnesota. You got that one. Was the only one that we got wrong together Detroit? Is that it?
Sounds about right because the Bears went into Detroit and won, which I'm still kind of scratching my head about there.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's the only one. And look, Swift catches that ball.
Yep, different story.
And we get that one too. So we hit between you and me, we hit all the games this week. So pretty nice accomplishment. But this week is tougher, man. Joe and I went through it already on Lion Star. This week is a little bit tougher than last week. So 11-4. I mean, it's going to be and 10-5 is going to be the best week one I think we ever have because week one, week 17 are always the hardest to pick. But when we come back, we're going to be going over this week two slate, going to pick our games, going to be a lot of fun. And I'm wondering how many times we're going to agree in this one because Joe and I were going toe-to-toe. We were together, and I don't like that. I don't like going too much together. So we'll be right back after this with our week two picks.
C
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I'm back!
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid in the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Follow Casey Bubba at BDantric. We are talking week two, and these lines have been moving all over the place, Bubba. I was surprised they have moved a lot in the last couple of days. We were scheduling up this call, and I'm like, give me 5 minutes. I got to make sure all these lines are right, and they were moving all over the place. So let's just start in the very first one, Atlanta at Dallas. And Dallas is a 4.5-point favorite coming off a really, really depressing loss against the Rams last week. You know, I wish we would have been talking immediately after that game because the call on Gallup. We didn't break it down, but what were your thoughts?
Yeah, that was a little rough there. I'm just gonna be honest, little rough. I wouldn't agree with that one too much. That's about all I'm gonna say. That was a bad goal.
Samesies, samesies yeah. For sure on that one. So 4.5 Dallas is a favorite. 54, the highest over of the week, and only a couple games in the 50s here. So your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, we're going fishing here. I'm going to take the bait. Give me Dallas at home. Get right spot. We've seen it in the past with Dak and company. A lot better at home. And I'm going to take the over. Both these teams' defenses allowed the other opposing offenses to go crazy. They both ran fast-paced offenses. A ton of plays can be run in this game. Atlanta has no problem playing from behind and garbage touchdowning things up. I could see it could be even something similar to Thursday night where it just goes back and forth late. Give me Dallas. Give me the over.
Yeah, I like this one too. I'm lockstep Dallas and the over. So game one, we're picking the same already. So I like that. But no, we can't get too much the same here. Now, Buffalo is on the road at Miami. We saw, you know, Miami obviously struggle against New England last week. Buffalo looked pretty good against a terrible Jets team, and Bell got hurt, and you know, just the wheels came off for the Jets. But Buffalo, a 6-point favorite, 41 is the over in this game. What are your thoughts on that one?
The Dolphins have not figured out how to stop a running quarterback yet. I hate laying these kind of points on the road, but I'm going to take Buffalo on this one. I really am. This is scary because I like the Dolphins team. What they showed last week was just disgusting. So I'm going to take Buffalo. I'm going to take the under in this one.
Under. Okay. So we're on Buffalo, but I took the over in this one. So
41 is a low number. So I get it.
It is. Yeah. I think it's too low because I think if Buffalo scores 4 touchdowns, you know, all we got to do is get 2 from Miami. So I think that's doable. Jordan Howard, is he going to go this week?
Still questionable. A lot of, I don't think very much. Let's just put it that way.
What do you think?
Miles Gaskin's time. I was a huge Breida guy coming into the year. And after game one, it appears I was the only one in the Dolphins crew that thought he was a big play because, wow.
I mean, they traded for him and everything. So you'd think he'd get the first round, but Gaskin was good at Washington. But
we talked about Gaskin last year, like Boggs. I thought he was a really solid, like, number 3 running back that could step in as a number 2 when needed, and he never got the run last year. So maybe this is it.
Better than Bolaje. That's what we both know for sure. So
and Laird.
And Laird. I don't mind Patrick Laird, but
yeah, he actually got some love last week too. I figured Twitter would explode.
Well, dude, Laird got a touch before Breida did. So it was Gaskin and so Breida might be 4, although he did touch the ball more than Laird did. So all right, moving down the list here, and obviously I'm letting Bubba go first because everybody knows my calls. Carolina at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, an 8.5-point favorite, 47.5 is the over on this one.
Man, Carolina's playing so bad, but Tampa Bay did not look great either, and they might be really banged up in that receiving core. Give me Carolina to cover this one, and I will take the over, though, because that defense is horrific. So give me Carolina and the over.
Same Carolina in the over for just too many points. Yep, that's too many points.
Yep, so, divisional game, too many points. Not going to happen.
Lockstep. Pittsburgh hosting the Denver Broncos. They are 7.5-point favorites. 41.5 is the over in this one. What are you thinking? Because Pittsburgh and Denver both played low-scoring games last week.
They both did, but I will take Pittsburgh and the over in this one. I liked what I saw from that Denver offense. They can't help it that there were so many just kind of stalled drives late that if you just turn one or two of those into something productive, you're good to go. That Pittsburgh defense was fierce, though. Very, very fierce. So the over might be a bad call, but I like Pittsburgh to run it down their throats and take the over.
I got Pittsburgh in the over as well. Lockstep. All right. Maybe we're different on this one. Green Bay, 6-point favorite at home. 49.5 is the over. They are hosting the Detroit Lions. What do you think on that one?
I said it last week, and I'll say it pretty much every week this year. It's the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. Give me Green Bay. Give me the over in Lambeau Field. Detroit will get some because Green Bay's defense isn't great. They'll play back and forth. Green Bay wins by at least double digits at home.
Ooh, okay. I took Green Bay. I think it's going to be play closer than that, though. So I took the under. So I do think Green Bay wins by 10, but I think that can hang on the under there. How about Tennessee hosting Jacksonville? They are – oh, I totally biffed this one.
I was like, that's a new spread.
Yeah, that's a 0.75. That ain't right. So let me go scroll up. It is a 7.5, so I just misplaced the decimal here. So they're 7.5-point favorites. 44 is the over in that one. What do you got?
Ooh, give me Jacksonville to cover and give me the over.
Jacksonville and the over. All right. So now we're moving off a little bit. I did take Jacksonville, but I took the under in this one. So Tennessee played a tight game. Jacksonville's defense looked better than we thought. So that's why I'm going with that under. Philly hosting the Rams. The Rams, 1.5-point favorites. 45.5 is the over on that one.
Yeah. Aaron Donald's going to have like 6 sacks on Sunday. It's going to be ridiculous. People are going to remember why he's like a defensive player of the year candidate year in and year out. Give me the Rams. Give me the under in this one.
All right. We're same on the under, but I'm taking Philly to bounce back at home. So I think you just can't have a showing like you had last week against Washington. So I'm going to go with the Rams on that one, or the Philly on that one. The Colts, 3-point favorites at home against Minnesota, and the over is 48.5. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a get right spot. Give me Indy and give me the under on this one.
Indy and the under. Okay, we're complete opposites here. I'm going Minnesota and the over in that one. Indy's defense was letting Jacksonville be efficient in that game. So I'm not in on Indy's defense right now. I think they will get right. Same thing for Minnesota. You know, they look terrible against Aaron Rodgers. So I think this game goes over pretty easily. The Giants are on the road against Chicago. Chicago, a 5.5-point favorite coming off their big win. Trubisky throwing 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Real good game for him. 42 is the over on that one. What do you think of Giants and Bears?
And that Giants offense is, our defense is just so bad. I'm taking Chicago on this one at home. It's weird to give that many points with Mitchell Trubisky, but we've seen him against bad defenses actually take advantage like he did last week. So give me Chicago, and I'm going to take the over 42. I think Danny Dimes can get a little bit going, but Chicago's probably going to put up at least 4 touchdowns.
We are back lockstep. Samesies for me, Chicago and the over. The Niners are going across the country on the road against the Jets, but the Jets looked horrific, so the Niners, even though coming off a loss at home against Arizona, are 7-point favorites. 41.5 is the over on that one. How do you see that one going?
Give me the Jets and the under.
Jets and the under. So
it'd be a boring snooze festival football game.
And so what do you think is like a 24-17 or something?
I think 17-10, 17-13. It's not going to be that exciting because the Niners are going to run the ball. They're depleted receiving core. The Jets just are a mess altogether. And the defense of the Niners is good enough to keep it from getting a crazy. It's just a back and forth, slow football game.
Yeah, I mean, I took San Francisco in the under, but I think the under is definitely the play here. You know, maybe the Niners break this, but I'm thinking like a 24-10, something like that.
A couple turnovers would change everything, but if it's just a regular boring football game like it should be, the under's in play.
The Cardinals are at home hosting the Washington football team. Arizona 6.5-point home favorites coming off that big win against the Niners. And a 47.5 is the over on that one.
Yeah, I didn't think the Washington football team and I think the Washington football team, that's not going to be the last time that happens.
Yeah.
The Washington football team was going to win last week, but I think I had them covering because I actually like what Haskins and company are going to do this year. So I'm going to have Washington cover this week, but I like the over. There's going to be a lot of points in this game. A lot of back and forth. Again, very similar to Thursday night. It's like very similar to Thursday night. Yeah. Kyler Murray is going to go off, but Washington covers this game on the over.
I'm on the over with you, but I am taking the Cards. I think they look pretty good. And that first half for Washington was horrific. So you get a couple turnovers from Haskins, and I think this could be a Cards route pretty quickly. So we'll see, though. Washington, that D-line is nothing to be messed with. Baltimore on the road against Houston. But they are, yeah, by the way, Houston's schedule, Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, their first three games. So good luck with that, guys. Baltimore at Houston, 7 point favorites, even for Baltimore. 50 is the over in this one. This is the only other game with a 50 point over.
Give me Houston and the under in this one.
Houston and the under. I've got Baltimore and the under. I just think we saw what Baltimore did to Cleveland, and Cleveland looked good tonight on Thursday. So I think Baltimore is a pretty damn strong team. So I think they're going to take care of Houston. The Chiefs on the road against the Chargers. They are 8.5 point favorites, 47.5 the over on this one.
Chiefs over.
You're just going to pick that until the wheels come off of it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. If I do it every week, I'll probably end up like 75%. So give me Chiefs and the over.
How many touches for Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that one?
Between receiving and on the ground, give me 23.
23? All right, I'll take the under on 23. So I hope it's the under. I'm going to look like a silly goose this whole year if he's getting 25 touches a game. That's for sure. How about the Patriots on the road against Seattle for Sunday Night Football? Seahawks, 4 point favorites, 44.5 is the over on that game.
Cammy Cam can wear his goofy outfits into Seattle because he'll blend in up there. But Seattle covers, the over hits in this one on a Sunday Night Special. But Russell Wilson showed it last week. He is one of the best, if not the best, quarterback right now in the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, it was funny. During Thursday Night Football, someone said, I think he's the most consistent fantasy football player. And I'm like, yeah. I think Christian McCaffrey and Russell Wilson.
Underrated every draft season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, go out on a limb there. Why don't you? Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think those guys are pretty they're pretty lockstep. Now, the Raiders are hosting Monday Night Football, but it's against the Saints. The Saints, another road favorite here, 5.5 points. 49.5 is the over in this one. So we're riding that 50 line here. What do you think about the Monday Night Football game?
No Michael Thomas, even though there's no crowd opening the new stadium. Give me the Raiders and the over.
Raiders and the over. Okay, I went Raiders and the under because I think in that game, you know, look, New Orleans scored points last week, but Drew Brees only threw for 160 yards. You know, Alvin Kamara didn't look great running it on the ground either. So I don't know. I know the road woes for the Saints. And like you mentioned, I don't think it's going to have as big of an effect because there's no crowd, you know? So, and we're getting some crowds, by the way. So, but Vegas, I think there's going to be no crowd at all here. So I think they said for the whole year already, right?
No crowd. Whole season.
Yeah. So no one in the Death Star. It is not fully operational quite yet. So, I've got the Raiders too. So I don't like going in picking the Raiders on a Monday Night Football, but I think that spreads too much. I don't think, especially without Michael Thomas, and he's doubtful. I don't think, even if he does play, I think he's mainly going to be a decoy. So, I think I got to take the Raiders. So I'm with you. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up and we'll be picking maybe a little parlay here. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It is the end of the three-hour tour for In This League here. And we really appreciate you listening. And we would appreciate it if you would go and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We've got football ranks. I've got college fantasy football ranks coming up. The Big Ten's coming back, Bubba. We got a lot going on there. Pac-12 is up in the air. I think they're all going to come back and play. But we got that rocking and rolling pretty soon here. You know, the I do Thursday Night Football with Bogman. The Welsh and I do two secret shows a month. And it's just a lot of fun. We got group me rooms if you're in there, $10 or higher. So we would love it if you check that out. And please, like I said before, follow us all on Twitter, at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. So let's pick a parlay here. What do you got? Pick three games that you're – you can pick – games or over-unders. What are the three that you're going to rock this week?
The three I really like, give me Green Bay -6, give me Seattle -4, and give me the over in the New England-Seattle game at 44.5.
All right. So you're that's one I disagree on, too. So I think – I just think New England
– tries to slow it down with what, Sonny Michelle?
No, I don't think they slow it down. But I don't think they sped up against the Dolphins. I think they keep it the same. They had
have to. Russell takes a lead, they're going to have to.
83% of their play calls were runs or play actions. And the league average is 55. Now, we saw Cleveland just get away with that, but they were playing the Bengals. They weren't playing the Legion of Boom here. And I know Seattle isn't what they were in the past, but I don't. You know, you could be right about that one. And you're right. If they get down quick, they're going to have to throw the ball. So they're going to have to uncork it. But Edelman was only playing three wide receivers. I just don't want to mess with that one. That's all. So, but, you know, we'll see. But that is going to wrap it up for us. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Like we said, we were pretty good against the spread last week. Over-unders, we were okay. So still under 500 there. But trying to improve this week, and I think we will. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, please check out patreon.com/ITL Army and have a great weekend. Enjoy all the football. We got college football coming back as well this weekend. So there is a lot to do. So I hope you all enjoy it, and we will see you again next week. Take it easy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.